Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
The text that I want to take us to today is a text. I'm not gonna open the Greek up on this one. I'm not gonna get into all the different details on it and all the different stuff that could be said about it. I'm going to just kind of let it say what it says, and then I kind of want to preach on just kind of what it's just saying, what it's saying. You know what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, you remember last week we read a whole chapter? Remember that one? One verse today. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands, careful, lest you fall. We're in a series that we're calling Voices. We're asking the question, What do we listen to? Who do we listen to? What are the voices we listen to when things happen? And remember the very first week we talked about, what do you do when you've made a big mistake? Who are the voices you listen to? And I think that resonated with a lot of us that have made some really big mistakes. Last week we talked about, what do you do? Who are the voices you listen to when things are really rough? When life begins to become a fog. Remember we talked about the blind guy, where your whole life is in a rough spot. Today I want to ask a question. Who are the voices you listen to when things are actually going pretty good? Let's pray, and then we're going to dive in. And I'm going to try to unpack this as best as I can. Dear Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and praise for this time, this moment. We're here. We're supposed to be here right now. I believe that with every single bit of my heart. We're supposed to be sitting where we're sitting. We're supposed to be here doing what we're doing. The people at other churches, they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be. Everybody's, you got us where you got us for a reason, for a purpose. And I just pray, God, right now that you would open up our hearts to receive from you the word that we need to hear. Open our hearts up to receive what we're supposed to hear this morning. And I pray especially for that person. I don't know who it is. There's a good chance it's me this morning, God, who needs to hear this word. Because I've been hearing it all week, and I've been believing it. Yeah. Help us right now. Help us right now, God, to hear this word. Not just in our ears, but in our hearts. Open us up to it. Challenge us, grow us, mold us, shape us. Help me only, God. Help me right now to just share what you want us heard. What you want us to hear, not a word more, not a word less than that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so where I want to start is in a kind of fun place, okay? This is exciting to me to be able to kind of do this with y'all. I want to take you, and Lyle, we haven't really talked a bunch about this, so we're just going to kind of work together on this, okay? But I want to take you through a quick snapshot of my life, okay? A quick snapshot of my life. And so I have some pictures up here starting. Go ahead and go to the first picture. Here's me as a little baby. Look at that. Isn't that incredible? There's me as a little baby. That's my mom and my dad. That's actually at my baptism. I asked my mom to send me some pictures, and she shot me some pictures, and this was the youngest one. This is me as the youngest little baby here that she has. And that's me at my baptism out in the woods. It's actually, it looks like it's in a church, but it's actually out in the woods. I was baptized in the woods, and really cool. So, because our church once a year did church in the woods, and that was that Sunday, and so it was cool. So I got to be baptized in the woods. I was actually married in the woods, and I'm a little nervous that puts the pressure on for me to be buried in the woods, but I don't know, but I was baptized in the woods, very cool. Next picture, here's me. Oh, are you kidding me? That's me. All right, go to the next one. Man, there's just so many cute pictures, because like every picture is just cute. Boom, look at this one. Oh, that's me right there as a little baby with our puppy Peanut. That's our puppy Peanut. Go ahead, next one. That's where we were doing some wood. Look at that blonde hair. Whoa, go to the next one. Yep, perfect. Now that, come on. Come on. My goodness. That's a cute kid. Oh, taking a little nap. I love that. There's just my, this me, you know, I remember that couch. So annoying. That, you know how it moves like that? That was so annoying. All right, what else? Look at that picture. Man, I see something. I see Cora in that picture a little bit. Wow. See, this is my first time being bald. Booyah. Go ahead, Lyle. Next one, there's me and my mom. There's my Packers gear. I was all packered up. Actually, it's really interesting about that picture. I'm just going to quick say it. I was leaving. Oh, sorry. Go back, Lyle. That picture, I was leaving to come to Houston for the first time. That next day, I was going to be in Houston for the first time ever. And I remember that because I remember I had Packer shorts on, a Packer shirt on, and a Packer hat on heading to Houston. I feel like that's dangerous. Like, I don't know. I just remember that. That's really funny. Next picture, me and one of my brothers, my dad, we're playing some softball. Next picture, just getting a little older, honor roll student. That I should wear that shirt every day. That's me. That's me and my dad. What do you got for another picture? Keep going. Oh, I love that picture. Just being stupid, my hand stuck. I was going on a mission trip. Next picture, keep going. Oh, there, yeah. Keep going, Lyle. Keep going. There's some buddies of mine. We're out ice fishing. This is some college buddies. Awesome. There's me and Jackie dating. You know, so I meet Jackie, which is cool. Then we end up getting married. Got a picture there of that. Got married in the woods, which was cool. Next picture. There's my office when I was doing youth ministry in Pennsylvania, working at a church there. Definitely miss my office, but that's me and Core. Got our office there. This is us at seminary. Had to go out and buy a suit. Ay, ay, ay. That baby's hidden somewhere deep. That's at seminary. This is a bunch of my seminary buddies. These guys are all pastors throughout the United States now. Just good friends there. This was us actually at a church when we did a church plant in Knoxville, Tennessee. We were there, and we weren't planting it. We were coming alongside Pastor Matt and his team, but we got to intern there. Some of my brothers doing some hunting trips. Cool, and then we're almost done. Our first Buc-ee's, this is us with the kids. Our first Buc-ee's pick, have to do the pick. Us in Texas, growing, growing, growing. Ember's not even in that picture yet. And then there's the kids, all of them. Oh, that picture didn't come through the best, but that's my last picture. There's my life. There's this quick snapshot of my life. Now I got my four kids, married. We live here in Porter, right? And just in a fast, all the way through. And as I was thinking about my life, I was thinking, here's my life. Here's my life. Last week, we're talking about when things are going rough. And let me tell you, and you've heard me share some things already. My life has not been all roses, right? There's been some real issues. Some you've heard about, some you haven't heard about yet, okay? There's been some real stuff, some real darkness in my life. But when I look at my life, there have been so many moments where it has been all good. It has been just good. I've had, in so many ways, in so many aspects, I've had a good life. Don't get me wrong, some dark stuff, death, disease, brokenness, all sorts of sin, all sorts of bad stuff. Yes, but when I look back, I'm like, man, there is so much of my life that is just good. It's just good. It's been awesome. It's been awesome. Like, I don't have the story of like being like living out, you know, somebody pulls a gun out and shot and, you know, Jesus swooped in and grabbed the bullet and, you know, the angel saved me and I give him my life. I don't have that story. I don't have the story of like something terrible happened. I don't have some of that. Like so much of my life is being born into a good family and being raised and growing up and having an awesome family now and so thankful and so many blessings. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, how true is that for some of you? Like life, you know, like last week when you heard last week's sermon, some of you really resonated. I heard from you. You're like, I needed to hear that. But what are the voices I listen to when I am in a dark place? And you're going through some stuff. There's some people in this room going through some stuff right now. But then I think there were some of you who just checked out. And you were like, well, that's not really me. You're not really speaking to me. Like, my life's actually pretty good. Like, if I had cancer, I would be like, oh, yeah. You know, we would be distraught. But I don't. I actually don't have cancer. I'm actually pretty good. Like, if my wife walked out on me, I would be devastated. But she hasn't. And she won't. Like, she's, like, life is pretty good. I got some money in the bank. Like, I got accepted to college. Like, I'm on the football team. I'm thinking about maybe having kids. Got a house. Seems like everything's pretty good. Like, I go out to eat on Friday night. Maybe head up to Gringo's. Go out to eat Tuesday night. Go out to eat Thursday night. Like, we go to some nice places. We don't always go to even chains. Like, we'll go to some other places, check out some good stuff. Like, maybe we run over to Walmart. You know, I go in and, yeah, you know, I'm going here for this, but as I walk by this, you know, throw that in too. Like where life is actually pretty good. Like, all is pretty good in your life and feel pretty good. I guess I want to ask you, is that you today? Is that you? Or as you look at your life, you're like, my life's not in shambles. My life's pretty good. This message is for you. This message is for you. And I want to talk to you about that. Anybody have just kind of like life? Life is all good. And when people ask you, how are you doing? You're not hiding something when you say, doing good. You're actually, I'm really doing well. And I'm really doing well. Is that you today? There was a guy in the Bible, his name's Solomon. There's a guy in the Bible, and you can go and find him in 1 Kings chapter 10. I don't have any scriptures up for him. But in 1 Kings chapter 10, it basically lays out how good Solomon's doing. Solomon's doing good. And the moral of the story is not, because for him it really is, the moral of the story, though, is not, when you become a billionaire, what do you do with it? Okay? That's how it kind of comes across, because Solomon's got everything. He's the king of Israel. He's really riding on the back of his dad, who did a lot of wars and fought and established the boundaries of their nation and basically say, okay, this is what we rule now. And Solomon gets to kind of come in, and even though there's some hardships, even though there's some difficulties, he gets to come in, and it's pretty good. He's got people bringing him from other nations gold and silver. No, it even says silver is not even that big of a deal at this time, because gold is so abundant. The guy's got everything he wants. He's got wisdom. He's had God talk to him and say, what do you want? Someone's like, I want wisdom. And he does the right thing there. He wants wisdom, discernment. He gets money. He's got a whole kingdom. There's pretty much peace all over the place. Life is good. Like, life is good. And it's interesting, because the better Solomon's life gets, the more dangerous it becomes in relationship, in his relationship with God. The better it gets, the more the testing begins to move towards danger, danger, danger. And it gets to a point in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse chapter 11, it actually begins to say he's pushing away God. He pushes God away, and he begins to focus in on the stuff of this world. He's got everything. See, and this is really important. Suffering can be difficult, right? Suffering can be really difficult, and it can really test us. Some of you are in the test. But success can be just as dangerous, folks. Success. Suffering is hard. Success can be dangerous. And all of a sudden, we can begin to lose sight of the things that are most important. It can begin to take us off track as life gets better and better and better. Have you ever known that person? Have you ever known that person where when you knew them, they were a certain way, and then life actually got good for them, and they changed? Anybody? Do you know that person? I can think of a person right now. in my mind, where life didn't get bad and they changed, although that can happen too, where life actually got good and they began to be a different person. They began to change in terms of who they are. And I could go deep with that because there's a lot to that. But I'm not going to. I'm going to just kind of stick a little more surface today and just kind of let you kind of think some of that through. Do you know that person who's changed in their heart because of success, because of things going well? It's really interesting because the better life gets, sometimes the more dangerous it can be when it comes to our relationship with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, which is a fascinating book in the Bible. I actually learned some stuff as I was kind of looking at this a little bit. Ecclesiastes is probably written by, guess who? None other than Solomon. Now, we don't for sure know that, but we pretty much know that that's who it is. And it looks like it's probably pretty good thought that Solomon wrote this at the end of his life, okay? That Solomon wrote this at the end of his life. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, we actually have Solomon beginning to push his relationship with God. And it really never in 1 Kings ever really says that he repents and turns. It just means he kind of just dies. If Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and if this was written after all this kind of took place, where he began to kind of fall trapped to the things of this world, then Ecclesiastes is a picture of Solomon really repenting, Solomon turning. But it's interesting because of how he starts this book in the Bible. He says, the word of the preacher, the son of David, so cues us off that it's probably Solomon, king in Jerusalem. And then he says this, vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now that word vanity in the Hebrew is actually the word hebel. Hebel. And it's vanity, yes. It can also mean meaninglessness, but it can also mean breath. It can mean breath. It can mean like mist. It can mean poof. That's my Wisconsin translation. Poof. It can mean breath. It can mean poof. See, as Solomon is looking back on his life, he begins to look at all the stuff. He begins to look at his life, the challenges, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the successes, the suffering. He's looking at all of it and he's saying, but a puff, but a breath. What mattered most? What even mattered? Vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. See, at some point, it seems like Solomon's heart was awakened. His spirit is awakened to realize what actually matters most. And here's what it is. It's his relationship with God. I'm not trying to be cheesy here. I know I'm moving pretty fast to that thought, but that's what he begins to recognize. And you begin to unpack it. You begin to realize that all of the even is all goodness begins to be put in perspective when put in perspective of my relationship with God. I want to ask you this morning, is your life so good? Is your life so good that you've actually lost perspective of what matters most? Is your life actually pretty good? You're pretty chill. You're pretty chill. But it's in that. It's not in you hearing you got cancer. It's in that. Life is pretty chill. Pretty much got what we need. Pretty much got everything figured out. It's right in that that you are beginning to slip, where you actually begin, because of the successes, because of life going pretty good, you begin to do what? You begin to stand. You begin to stand. See, what are the voices you listen to when life is going well? And I told you this would come back. I brought this up in our first sermon. I told you this was going to come back. The things that sometimes we begin to hear when life starts to get good, the things we start to hear is our own voices. We'll start to say things like, man, I kind of made something happen here. right? You ever do that? You ever start to kind of like direct some of that towards yourself? Like, man, I actually am kind of smart. I can kind of actually do that. Wow, look at that business and how it's, we've done a pretty good job with that. Look at my marriage. Hey, not too bad. Look at my kids. I was chatting with one of you this past week who said that you know someone who has had a child before, and you heard them say something like, look at what I did. And you had to bring a challenge to this person and say, did you do that? Really? You did that? See, it's amazing how our hearts can begin to all of a sudden more and more, look at what I did. Look at how I made that happen. Look at. And all of a sudden the voices we begin to listen to are the voices of ourselves. Are you today in a place where life is actually pretty good? It's pretty good. And in that, stuff's starting to slip. Take heed. Those of you who stand, be careful, lest you'd fall. Careful. See, testing can come through suffering, but testing can also come through success. You see what I'm saying? It can be suffering and success. And I'm not defining success necessarily as like I'm now a millionaire. I'm defining success as essentially arriving at a place where you feel pretty good. This was kind of my dream and now I'm there. Success could be getting into college. Success could be getting a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Success could be my kids turned out okay. It could be a lot of different things. Where are you at today with this? All right, I don't know, I'm losing maybe one of you, a couple of you. Be careful. Life is but a breath. Life is but a breath. It's like a mist. It's like a mist. As I was thinking about my life, check this out. As I was thinking about my life, I was looking over those 23 pictures, okay? And it amazed me. It amazed me how fast. It amazed me how fast. I mean, of course, I could put a bunch of other pictures up there, but of course, I can't put a ton of them. But if we were to just take, born, school, playing some softball, go to McDonald's, eat out at Gringo's, get a job, to standing up here today. Just a mist. My whole life, just like that. And just like that, I was thinking about this. Now, this is going to sound like Debbie Downer, but just like that, a third of my life, at least, right? I mean, come on. For sure. A third of my life, just like that, is gone. And it's amazing to me because if you add, right, I'm just a young dude still. I get that. Some of you are like, yeah, you're such a young child. I get it. But that's all you have to do is add 20 years on, 30 years on, 40 years on, add 50 years on. I don't care. And guess what? When we do the little slideshow through your life, guess what it's going to be? That's what happens. We go to funerals. We go to funerals and the slideshow. There it is. We've done that. That's what'll happen with me. I'll die when maybe 90, maybe I'll make it, 90 some years old, maybe. Probably not. I'm probably closer to, 2/5. Not good at math, I don't know. But you think about that. Just like that, gone. Just like that, gone. And my life's been pretty good. I've had some hard stuff, but it's been pretty good. And I just wonder if we start to slip just a little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, and all of a sudden we're not even focused remotely on things that matter. And on top of that, we haven't spent time with God. We haven't spent time with our relationship with Him. Hardly at all. And He's the one who matters the most. I'm concerned about those of you who don't understand it's but a mist. Look at this verse. Look at 1 John. It's the same exact thing. 1 John, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, that's what happens when we start to listen to our own voice. The pride of life, listen, this isn't from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away. The world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Today is life so good that you are caught up in, you are caught into the track of where the world is going. It's just passing away. And in just a few short years, and I'm talking about myself here, who I probably still got quite a few yet ahead of me, right? Or it seems like just a few short years, it's just done. It's just done. Soon I will be dead. That's from Star Wars. Soon I'll be dead and you with me. Oh, that's Luke Skywalker. Yeah. Soon I'll be dead. Yeah, that wasn't in my notes. Yeah, that's good though.
I'm your father.
Soon I'll be dead. And y'all with me. I like that. And y'all with me. Where's our focus today? Where's our focus? What are we thinking about? Do you care? I mean, is that what you care about? Is your house? Do you care about just your job and the success and getting to, is that what matters, Mo? I'm not saying don't do your job. I'm not saying any of that. I'm not saying don't buy a house. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying, have you so focused in on those things that you have lost sight of the most important thing, the God of the universe? Who has blessed you with those things? Who has taken care of you? Who's provided for you? Have you ever found yourself praying and praying, God, 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 I'm in the midst of suffering. I'm in the worst spot ever. I'm in the worst spot ever. I'm in the worst spot ever. And God gets you out of that. And then you're just like, yeah, God, I got other problems over here. I got other problems over here. And you have not spent a millisecond of thanks, of gratitude to the God of the universe who maybe helped you out of that. I mean, I find myself praying for years for people and then healing comes or healing doesn't come. But if healing comes, thanks God, appreciate that one. We're going to move on to some other stuff. Boom. And we spend maybe one prayer in thanks. See, it's so subtle. It's so subtle. But all of a sudden, just like that, take heed, those of you who think you stand, lest you'd fall. Are you so caught up in the things of this world? I just want to kind of leave you with this. Where I want to speak for just a second are those of you who are thinking, I should have just gone back to last week's message because my life actually really does suck. I'm actually in some hard stuff. Here's the message for you today. The message for you is this. Some of you who are in incredible suffering, here's where you're off track. Here's where your focus is for some of you. Your focus is when life gets good again, then I'll be tracking again. Do you follow me? See, the message for some of you where life is really hard, which is true. I mean, that's real. Some of you are so focused on what it needs to look like that you're too focused. Your focus isn't on the Creator. Suffering is a form of testing, but so is success. Oftentimes we find ourselves somewhere in there. Where are you at today? Where are you at today? But a mist. I think of all those pictures of my life. Done. And in just a few short years, add 20, add 30, add 50 years to my life. When I do this same sermon someday, I'll do that same, it'll be the same mist, just but a breath, but a mist, but a vapor. It's fading away. And as I was thinking about the gospel, I was thinking about how we so often entrap ourselves to this world, and we get caught up in it, and we get caught up in it. And I was thinking about God. And isn't it amazing, as you read through the Gospels, as you read through the story, what Jesus has done for us, isn't it amazing that he got caught up with us? Like, Jesus came. Jesus, in his coming, the great mission of God, coming to think about you and to think about me and to do the Father's will, whose mission is to save us, to bring us forgiveness, to help us in our weakness, to help us understand that it's okay if we're not standing because he will make us strong. To come and say, be careful, those of you who think you stand, because it might be you who fall. He comes because he's caught up with and he cares about you. And that, just for 2 seconds, stop and think about that. This next week, think about that. You're caught up in, and you don't even know it. I'm not saying in a greedy, like, nobody would like this person kind of way. No, just in a nice, gentle way. You're caught up in the stuff of this world. And the God of the universe sits over here off to the sidelines in your life. But God, the God of the universe, he, instead of being caught up in something way out in space floating around that's maybe cooler, I don't know, I'm just making that up. He's focused on us. He's caught up in us. Wow. Wow. How awesome is that? Guys, out of my 8 great grandparents, I know 2. I know 2. I don't even know the other people's names. Great grandparents, 50, 40 years ago, I don't even know who they are. Do you think you're that special that your great-grandson or your great-granddaughter is going to even know who you are? Nope. Maybe 2 of them will. But for the rest, you're just a mist. Man, get caught up in what God is doing. Get caught up in him. I don't care if your life is in the pits. I don't care if it's up. I do care. I'm not saying it like that. I don't care if it's up in the highest of heights. Get caught up in God. Focus in on Jesus Christ, the one who loves you, the one who saved you, the one who died for you, the one who rose from the dead victoriously for you, to bring you salvation. He cares about you that much. Man, let today be just a day of pause, a day of realignment. I need to spend some time with Jesus this next week. I will be in his word. I will open it up and I'm going to get in it a little bit. I'm going to see what he's got to say to me. I want to grow that relationship with him because he's what matters most. I'm going to spend some time in prayer this next week. I don't know. I don't know what it is exactly you need. But let's be hearing his voice. In the suffering, but also in the success. Let me say a prayer for us. I got to stop. Lord Jesus, it amazes me that even though our lives are but a mist, it amazes me that even though we are here today and gone tomorrow, even though we are ashes, we are from ashes and to ashes we will return, even though all of that is true, even though at the beginning of our service today, we said, we are sinners, we made mistakes, we did things we shouldn't have done, we didn't do things we should have done, even though all that is on our hearts, even though all that is so true, you still care about us. Wow. Help us to bask in that, oh God. Help us to see that is true in our lives. Help us to believe that to be true in our lives. Holy Spirit, just bring a wave, a blowing across this congregation. Not in this moment, not in a weird way, not in like a whatever way. Just in a real heart way, blow across us, all of us. Please, oh God, help us to get our lives back in alignment with you, seeing you as what's most important. Please help us with that, God. Because for some reason, even though it's silly, it almost is silly, it feels like our cars shouldn't matter as much as the God of the universe. Like, that's embarrassing to even say. Even though our families shouldn't be as big as the God of the universe, that's embarrassing. My wife shouldn't be more important than you, oh God. My family, my life, my goodness that I've experienced, that shouldn't be more important than you. But so often it is. Forgive us now. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying for us, Lord. Let that kind of love that we experience, let that kind of spirit movement in our lives, let that shape us. Let that give shape to how we live out our lives. Starting this very next week, starting with this afternoon, I pray that boldly, Lord, for those who are suffering in this room today and who are going through that testing. But I also pray that for those where life is pretty good right now. Jesus, keep us from falling. Keep us from falling. And where somebody in this room, I should be done right there, Lord, but just one more quick thought, Lord, as I think about you. Where that person is that is standing tall, God, maybe there's some kind of movement that's needed there to bring them low so that they might understand their deep need for you. I hope we don't have to pray that kind of make us humble, but you are so important that if we can't humble ourselves before the throne of God, then Jesus, we pray boldly that you would do it. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to get us realigned with you. I pray that boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me leave you with a blessing. And then have a great week. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you this next week. May you keep your eyes fixed on him and everything that you do. He loves you like crazy. In Jesus' name. Go in peace. Have a great week, guys. You're awesome. Booyah! Booyah.